various sort of self-help and philosophical gurus and stuff like that. Again, it becomes very much a weirdly directed process about not being directed or being a non-independent independence project. We start to see this kind of strange tension. There's one concept that I think it's really important that we hit on and at least expand on a bit, and that is the concept of second order observation.
I think it makes sense if we think about it a little bit. He doesn't use this term, but let's think about first order observation. Let's think about what it means to just observe something or be observed. When we go look at a painting, we have a judgment of it, so it's good. A second order observation would look at that painting and observe that an observation is being made of this painting. So people see this painting as good. And we might have reflexive sort of second order observations about things that we might do. We do something and we enjoy it. A second order observation of that would be, well, I can be seen to be enjoying myself if I do this. Profelicity requires this kind of second order observation because, unlike the creation of an authentic self, which really truly reflects some inner core, profelicity is created based on various expectations, or I don't want to say solicitations, but it's always created in relation to other profiles.
Yeah, it's a kind of self-curation.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's a good term for it, self-curation. You can kind of curate the image that you create for yourself, and the reason you can do that is because of second-order observation. You understand that when you do this, you will be seen in this way.
Profelicity is deeply, deeply tied up with modern media structures. You know, we've been talking about how we're going from the age of sincerity to going to authenticity, and now we're in this age of profelicity. And I think sometimes we talk about it like, you know, you're kind of, there's a hard cut, right? Like you cut from sincerity and then you cut to authenticity and now you're cutting to profelicity. But, you know, Mueller is actually quite clear that, you know, actually all three of these modes still operate, and they operate together. It's less of like one or the other and more which system is more dominant. And obviously his argument is primarily that, you know, you might still have authentic relationships with people that are, you know, close to you, right? I don't have second order observations of my romantic relationship or relationships with my parents or whatever it might be in general. And I might sincerely follow particular roles, perhaps in a vocation, right? Like that's very common, right? People understand themselves to be a doctor and they really fulfill that and understand their value and gain some sort of social value from that process. But, you know, in profelicity, where, you know, it's dominant because of the technologies that allow it to take place. Yeah. It's basically, and profelicity is particularly important in one's relationship with everybody. So, you know, sincerity and authenticity in particular is very, the identity formation is very personal. It's very much about direct relationships that people have with other people. And, you know, that is really key. Sincerity obviously has more of a public domain, but it's still very much like localized to your personal community and your kind of value within that structure. But profelicity is really just like, you know, modern media and particularly social media and stuff like that. When I am curating, you know, when profelicity is at stake, when it's in action, it's not about like, you know, DMs I'm having between you and I on Discord. It's not about conversations I'm having with my partner. It's not about you know, the roles I'm fulfilling in my particular job on my workday, in most cases. It's about how myself is, the self that's curated is presented in a effectively global or online context. Mueller makes a connection a lot with individual profiles and brands. Basically, what we see is branding going on from from the biggest brands in the world, like Coca-Cola, to all the way down to individual people, effectively. And, you know, a really interesting point that Mueller makes, which I thought really rang true to me, is, you know, think about in today's world, what is actually more valuable for a company like Coca-Cola? What is really their understanding? Is it their hard assets? Is it factories and trucks and bottling plants? Or is it the brand? Is it what everybody around the world, basically every single person, knows and understands? If in some weird scenario, if we had to walk up to the board of directors or whoever at Coca-Cola and said, you've got a choice. Either you can give up all your hard assets, or you can give up your brand. Everybody, you keep the assets, you can keep all the hard stuff, the real stuff, the physical things, but everybody forgets who you are. What would you prefer to do? And I think the choice is obvious, right? You would say, we'll keep the brand, we can rebuild, we can restart, but it's the brand that's most important. It's the projection, the curated understanding that everybody has that's out there all the time. That's really the most important. And on a much smaller scale, Mueller is saying that this is what's more important for people now today too, right? Is who people see themselves to be. Who people see themselves to be through the eyes of other people.
Yeah, it's this kind of self-curation of a self-image. I mean, he says specifically, I'm quoting, profiles are images of ourselves presented for second order observation. We construct specifically kind of content or anything that we might put forward, a resume for a particular job or a photo for a particular social media feed, and then we post it. And it's always in consideration of, I've had this experience. It's difficult not to have this experience growing up in the material conditions being described, basically the internet, of having this feeling of, okay, well, if I post this, this is going to make me look this way, right? But what's really interesting is it's not just going to make me look this way, but where I post it is also kind of related to other images that I've tried to project in other things. And so I think it's, so let me make it more concrete and then I'll go into the extrapolation. We don't always just have one profile. Coca-Cola might be a particular brand, but it is also a corporation. So it has to operate in a legal framework as well. So it has a legal profile that it is trying to work through. People don't think of Coca-Cola as a legal brand. They think of it as a soft drink, a pop. Specifically too, I think about, posting content online. Well, does this jive with the way that I want to appear to employers? Does this jive with the way I want to appear to a family? I'm kind of curating these different characters in a way. And I'm specifically trying to keep them distinct in a way. This is the experience that I have, and Mueller does go through various, he brings up various experiences and alludes to the New Yorker and whatnot. But one of the concepts that I think makes this possible, and it's a little bit of a modification, I have this question going into as we continue to read this, but it's this concept of the general peer. So Mueller has this idea of that, yes, you are presenting these images for second order observation. You are cultivating an image in order to appear to be seen this way. But the kind of the nucleus that determines these particular profiles is those people whom you are presenting to. And he says that it isn't just everybody. There is a kind of a global nature to it because of the form of media that we're working with, the internet. It's a global communication media, but we still have peers within that. He talks about academics, specifically people reviewing and publishing articles. And if an article isn't getting cited, well, then it's not really boosting your profile. Well, who does that? Who does the reviewing? Who does the citations? It's your general peers. Think about your social media feed on, Facebook, where you post your pictures for your family. You're only going to post things in relation to the way that your family or whoever follows you or your friends with on Facebook. The only you're doing it in relation to those peers. So the question I have, because when I heard this concept, it immediately made me think of Heidegger's notion of Das Man, right? Of the one or the they. It's interesting because he does kind of split it up. They do have this normative function to them. One simply posts this to one's Facebook, one posts this to one's Twitter, one posts this to one's LinkedIn. But he gives them that leeway to be distinct. It's a general peer for a particular profile. It's not a general peer in this existential sense of the one.
Yeah, just literally everybody.
Yeah.
But it
one
is the...
posts, yeah, one posts to this profile or curates this image within this domain.
I think it's absolutely being, you know, curated. It's about, you know, curating to a particular audience, like you say, the kind of general peer. But there's this interesting sort of structure of, I guess we could call it volume, that's going on, where basically, you know, the general peer, your general peers are no longer the people that you actually associate with, you know, in what we might call potentially authentic relationships. And part of the reason that Mila brings up, which I thought was a really interesting point, is basically the problem with social media, even if you're curating to more specific avenues, say you work in academia, or here's a real example I have some experience with, traveling. And travel, you know, I've traveled quite a bit. Travel social media posting is super popular. And Mueller actually uses it as an example because it's this weird thing where it's like traveling has a sort of like authentic self-finding connotation. Profilicity in traveling is like extremely staged. Like it's so obviously staged. You know, he talks about people, you know, people go to specific sites, people go to big things, and they go there basically just to take photos. Going to a famous art museum, you know, I've been at some recently in New York, and everyone is taking photos of these paintings. But, like, the irony is that everybody already knows these paintings. You're posting people to tell people that you saw Starry Night, this painting that everybody can picture in their own head already. Like, what is that, right? And it's this kind of profile creation, and it's also because the social zones that people want to be in online are far too large for anybody to ever have any kind of authentic relationships with someone. There's simply too much volume of people. There's so too many interactions. There's too many possibilities. I need to effectively create a curated version of myself that operates more easily and more smoothly in this high density world. Right. Mueller kind of says, he points out, he said, you know, imagine he talks about specifically about having to book an Airbnb and his experience doing that. And he was like, you know, people talked about how important, you know, authenticity is. And he's like, imagine if I was trying to have an authentic relationship with the lady who I'm booking my Airbnb with.
Yeah.
Like, how would that? It's absurd. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Right. And so, like, these profiles, like our profilicity has the advantage of being very easily modulated to our particular online interactions, mm-hmm. and putting ourselves out there to the general online public and the general peers within that, you know, that public space.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a coincidence. I mean, the conditions of profilicity emerge under the material conditions of this medium. I mean, Mueller explicitly says, you know, in authenticity, you are cultivating authentic relationships with real people, with people that you know. But in this, and I think maybe this is a bit what makes it seem like he's talking about Das Man a little bit, it's with people you don't know. It's in fact, the more distant they are, the more applicable they are. I think about, so my brother, he put a game on the App Store, right? And he was telling, you know, he was over for Christmas and he was telling us, and my parents, they were like, oh, you know, tell us what it is so we can go onto the App Store and review it. And it's kind of a nice, it's like a, you know, parents want to help out their kids and put it up on you know, review it and whatnot and give it 5 stars. But you think about how kind of like flat that is in reality. Like, they're just one more rating, and they don't, that doesn't count for anything more. It's not them saying like, oh, you know, my son is making a really great game. It, first of all, it gets flattened, but that affectionate move also kind of gets flattened too, because it's not anything that's like, it's profile building, you know? It's not, you know, I put you in the game, or, you know, here's something about it that took me a long time to work on, and it was this big breakthrough for me. It's just, you are one more rating on the App Store. Authenticity kind of breaks down in this way.
I think you're hinting at something that Mueller kind of talks about a little bit, which is that Profelicity has this kind of absorbing quality to it. You know, Mueller uses a good example. I've actually never seen this meme. I don't remember it, but apparently there was a meme that went on a while ago called, you know, Riot Hipster, basically. And it was a guy who took a got a photo taken of him taking a selfie in front of a riot in Europe. So there was people burning cars or whatever, and he was taking a selfie in the background on his iPhone. And it was some anti-capitalism march. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here, because there's like, it's, you know, second order observation, but it's kind of third order observation, because it's kind of observation of someone observing, you know, some other situation going on through the the photograph, the guy taking the selfie and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, super meta. There's something strange going on when someone's trying to, there's this anti-capitalist, you know, movement going on, but yet the way that people promote that movement has to be within the system that they're actively trying to dismantle. And so in this way, like, the Profelicity is deeply, like, basically the second you do anything online, you are participating in that system. Mueller is very clear that Profelicity is deeply tied up with modern forms of the capitalist system, in the same way that authenticity kind of was, well, in a different way, but just like authenticity actually was, more than people want to admit, Profelicity is deeply, deeply tied up with that. The, you know, the promotion of one's personal value, one's effective brand value, is all about making someone marketable, making yourself marketable for, you know, to be, you know, have a strong position in social hierarchies, which is also deeply related to one's, you know, vocational prospects and all this kind of stuff as well. And, you know, and that's deeply related on showing that someone is, you know, in it with particular activities and brands and what they wear and, you know, what they're using and stuff like that. As he points out, you know, the irony of someone using an iPhone to display their dismay at, you know, the very system that built their own phone is like, there's some like crazy levels of like irony going on there. And that is like deeply embedded in the system of Profelicity itself.
Yeah, one of the other kind of deeply capitalistic, I guess, notions of this is this idea of a what Mueller calls a, I think it's social validation feedback loop, and it's this idea of the profile is a little bit of a promise when you post this content. It's subject to the evaluation of the people who are on that network or whatnot, because it's literally produced to be observed. It's produced to be observed. So it can be observed and judged. Social media is very good at this. It has elegant systems for liking and sharing things. And so when you like something, or when something you post gets liked, there is almost this inbuilt demand put on you by the content that you post, or the image or the profile that you're promoting, that you have to do this. And he says it's like when you apply for a job. So say you build a resume and an employer's like, great, you know, see you on Monday, and you have to go to your work. You can't just not do the job that you were, you know, hired for. You have to do that. It's the same with, say, you post some content, you're going to, you know, let's put your travel photos onto a Twitter feed. You know, as people start liking this content, you are incentivized almost psychologically. It's very, it's interesting how compelling it is. You are, you're shown this demand of, okay, we'll keep posting this. Now this is a profile, not just that you want to on your own, but your profile is you. You experience a demand to post this kind of content. And if you don't, you let down, you know, your followers or the general peer, theoretically, any kind of community that you create around that profile. And so that's the kind of, I say it's a sort of capitalistic element, because you find a lot of people will start, you know, sharing their hobbies online, and after a little while they'll just burn out because there has been this demand for posting content, for sharing new things. They have to come up with new things to share. The algorithm makes a demand of them to kind of commodify something that they just did at their own leisure, they enjoyed on their own. Now they are a content creator, now they're a producer, now they have a job in this marketplace of profiles. So that's another kind of thing I notice.
Yeah, and I think that's also kind of related to what basically Mueller kind of points out, is effectively, I'll just call it like the virtue signaling of like the online world. Mueller makes the point that like profilicity is deeply tied up with one's identity in terms of, or is all about person's identity and formation within the context of participating in particular or advocating for particular interests or movements or whatever, right? That's kind of a long-winded way of saying that. But basically, you know, part of my profile, part of who I am, is deeply identifying with certain things that I deem to be important. And because those things are important, I am important, right? And so Mueller points out is there has to be this constant sort of feedback loop of this, you know, I stand for this thing, and because I stand for this thing, I have a certain degree of value. And because of that system, I cannot disagree with that thing, right? Whatever that thing might be. And then we see this online, basically Mueller is saying, with people constantly liking, sharing, commenting, promoting, in this case, generally, it's like, particular political interests, whatever they might be. And you really see people profiles really become effectively dogmatic, right? How often do you see a profile or an online conversation or whatever it might be, or someone share something where they've clearly like leaned one way super hard for a really long time, and then all of a sudden someone says something and they're like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to back off on this. And Mueller basically, like, you know, I think Mueller's point is that like largely that almost never happens, because the profiles gain their value. They have some value on the stands that they take. And if you reverse those stands, then you are effectively losing the identity that you have built. In the same sort of way, like if I become, you know, a travel vlogger or a travel Twitter or a travel Instagrammer, you know, I've got that profile. I get hundreds of thousands of followers. I'm doing my thing. And then suddenly I'm like, hey guys, I'm not going to travel anymore. And I'm just going to post photos of my dogs and, you know, and like hanging out and doing regular life stuff. Profile's dead. Like, not only do people stop paying attention, but it's also like when you look at it, like it looks weird. Even though that's actually probably more of an accurate reflection of how people live in their day-to-day lives. Obviously, profiles can be very complex, but there's also this weird necessitated simplicity and consistency in profiles that has to take place. They have to hold on to or grapple onto and maintain the particular stance that they have taken to maintain their identity, to be who they are as particular profiles.
The word ideology, when he started talking about a particular grappling with, because that's kind of thinking, but like a rigidification in sticking to an idea or a cause, that's almost just what an ideology is. It is the maintenance of a form of a cause. I think of Zizek, he says that Descartes early on discovered ideology in the Discourse on Method, when he says that the form of provisional morality is, say you're in a forest, if you want to get out, just pick one direction and walk straight forward. You will get out of that forest. Zizek says this is ideology. This is someone maintaining a perfect form because they know with certainty that if they maintain this form, a certain end will be achieved. History will manifest itself in a particular communist revolution because it's inevitable through history.
I would say that Mueller thinks that you can't have a profile that doesn't have that sort of like commitment to a particular thing or particular avenues. And he even says like even profiles that are like troll profiles, people who are out there just like hammering on people and attacking, you know, the libs or whatever all the time, all that stuff. That is a particular stand that a profile takes, and that profile starts to become almost nonsensical if it then steps outside of that and starts, you know, sincerely upholding particular liberal values or whatever. Like, if it's not, doesn't have that kind of consistency, it does, it's kind of stops functioning in that profilicity sort of way.
Yeah, it loses its form, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
It stops being what it is. Which is the whole point of this form of identity, or identity, this identity model is maintain the form, something stable and durable enough that you can look it in the mirror and realize and see it as real. I mean, reality isn't just durability, but there is something about reality that is durable, and the maintenance of form is a great way to imitate that durability. So I'm glad that we got the groundwork kind of laid out, the three concepts of sincerity, authenticity, and profilicity are going to be key. They're going to be threaded throughout our discussion and exploration of this text. We hope to have you with us as we continue to discuss You and Your Profile, Identity After Authenticity by Hans-Jürgen Mueller and Paul J. D'Ambrosio. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to the Canadian Philosophy Show.
You can find the Canadian Philosophy Show at tcps.podbean.com and on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of Canada Land, Canada's only media criticism program. Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.